Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 388, When the Impossible Looms Big. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 29th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So Jesus said one time before he went to heaven, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So as we approach that end of the age, the time is even more crucial, more important than ever before for us to take the stand for the things that God stands for and to be the people that God has called us to be. I know that we're not perfect people. We're probably not the perfect church, and we're certainly not the only church in the city. And you have a choice of where you could go. But we're proud to have you as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and as a mighty army that's winning victories worldwide because of the power of the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to speak to you today about a message that God laid on my heart this week, when the impossible looms big. So I want you to think for just a moment what your greatest impossibility in life might be. You know, all of us face different kinds of challenges. We sometimes face different demons. They all have their same leader. It's the devil himself. But we have to join the crowd of people who are the winners, not the losers. Because Jesus went to the cross to make us more than conquerors. Bible says we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And so we have to think about, when we're facing impossibilities and situations and circumstances in life, what to do and how to face those things and how to come out with the victory that Jesus paid a really high price to get for us. So in thinking about impossibilities, sometimes we don't even want to think about it. It's just like overwhelming. If it wasn't an impossibility, it probably wouldn't be overwhelming. But when you're faced with stuff that you have no control over, doesn't seem like you have any control over, and doesn't seem like it's moving, it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, sometimes it's discouraging. So when those times happen, we have to be like the man David, that was called the friend of God. Because when he was faced with an impossibility at Ziklag, where he lost everything, he lost his wives, his friends, his army lost their wives and their children and their goods. Everything was taken. Their village was burned down. The Amalekites had destroyed their whole existence. And they cried all night, but crying didn't bring anything back to them. And at the morning hours, he ended up with a disgruntled army that wanted to stone him. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord and began to inquire of God. So that really is the starting place of your facing your impossibility, whatever that happens to be in your life, is to find the place of the place of reference where it's no longer about you, it's no longer about your problem, it's about God. I know you're there, and I know that you not only have the potential to give me the victory, but you are my victory. Amen. And to begin to encourage yourself in the Lord, and then to inquire of him what to do. And that takes the Spirit of the Lord, the one who brings liberty and freedom. So I'm going to begin the message this morning with Luke chapter 4. This is the hometown preaching of Jesus when he went to his story, when he went to his hometown in Nazareth. I guess this was perhaps his first hometown, preaching experience. It wasn't a very successful one because they all rejected him. Bible says he couldn't even do many miracles there except to heal a few sick people. What a way to start, to face the hometown bunch and lose. The Bible says that they wanted to throw him off the cliff after this message. But the Bible says also that he just walked through them as if they weren't there. And he went on and he began to do something in his ministry that nobody's ever been able to match and never will be able to match, to preach the gospel and to heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons in a spectacular way. But in this message in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." So I want to stop there for just a moment, just to talk a little bit about the character of Jesus. So he went to the place, he grew up in this place. The Bible said that he had some customs. One of his customs was he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What you do with your life and how you order your life is really important. Of course, Jesus is our prime example. You know, the Bible says that we should follow those who are following God. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Jesus. Imitate me as I walk with Jesus." But Jesus is our primary example. And when you see something like this at the age of 30-some years old, it was his custom to be obedient to God and to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And then we see also that when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says he opened the book and found the place where it was written. That means that he had a familiarity with the Bible. He had a familiarity with Scripture. And he opened it to the right place. He was no stranger to the Word of God. So you might think, well, this was Jesus. He was the Son of God. So, of course, you know, this would apply to him. But, you know, I'm not Jesus and I'm not the Son of God. But the Bible says we are all sons of God if we're born again. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. We've become children of the living God. So, like Jesus, and maybe Jesus like us, we have the same opportunity to seek after the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to find him in the Bible. Now, for a lot of people, that might be dead, dull, and boring, because for them, it's a task to get into the Word of God. It's a task to break the book open. We'd rather sleep the extra half hour, the extra hour. We'd rather do something that's easy. I remember a message by a gentleman. He's passed away now, going to be with the Lord, Jerry Savelle. When we were first coming into the things of God, we're hungry for people who taught faith and hungry for people who taught the Word of God. And he had a sense of humor. And he was telling about his experience with getting a breakthrough in reading the God, Word of God every morning. He was a body shop owner, so he worked hard every day and got up very early so that he could be at the shop to work on cars, fix cars for people. But he said he had a real struggle in reading the Word of God every day, because every time he would sit down to read the Word of God, because he was tired, he would go to sleep and end up having to go to work, and he just missed his time with God in the Word. So finally he decided that he would remedy that by standing on the edge of his bathtub while he was reading the Word of God in the morning. Standing there balancing on the edge of the bathtub so that he wouldn't fall asleep, and if he did, he'd wake up quite quickly. So you have to do what you have to do in order to get your breakthrough. But he said after a period of time, he was able to read the Word of God every morning and not fall asleep, and had broken the habit of sleep over in favor of reading the Word of God. So here it says that Jesus found the place where it was written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he ended by saying, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he's saying, I'm that person, and I have that spirit. Wasn't well accepted, but it was the truth. So let's just look at the statements that he was making and declaring about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Without the Holy Spirit, we're sunk before we start. He understood something that day. At the beginning of his ministry, he understood that he was totally dependent on the Spirit of God. And outside of the Spirit of God moving into and through him, he didn't have much to offer people. And likewise, neither do we. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yes, of course, this was prophesied many years before Jesus came. And fortunately, we have the opportunity to read about these things and to learn and grow from them. The importance of this to him was the key to his ministry, because he later said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only speak what I hear my Father speak. If we would only use that rule, how would our lives be different? How would our lives be changed for the better? And how would our ministries to people be more effective if we only spoke what we hear the Holy Spirit speak and only did what we saw him do in the lives of people? You know, sometimes we want things for people more than people want them for themselves. Oftentimes that's a problem and results in failure. However, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit is speaking and showing and leading and guiding, oftentimes the gifts and ministers of the Holy Spirit begin to manifest themselves, and you're able to get breakthroughs that other people cannot get with people who they've tried to witness to or tried to minister to multiple times. So it's really key and central to the ministry of Jesus that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Then it says, because he has anointed me. Later on, Peter would say in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Even his disciples recognized that it was only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life that Jesus could go about doing good and heal all those that were oppressed of the devil. And they recognized it was because God was with him. God, Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. So because he has anointed me, he has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. So the poor are the disadvantaged that normally don't get a lot of good news. And Jesus came for those people. He came for the disadvantaged. He came for those who normally don't get very good news. So if you've had a series of not such good news, well, Jesus is there for you, and he has a special, precious anointing to come into that place of failure, that place of lack, that place of poverty, that place of lacking what you need to get your breakthrough. He has an anointing to come into that place and change the whole situation, to turn it around. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I suppose we have never lived in a time, or there's never been a time, when there's been so many brokenhearted people. I mean, you read story after story in the news media, and what you see on Facebook and what you see on social media and other things, just people that are heartbroken because of all of the tragedy and because of all the sorrow and all the situations that they've been going through. And sadly, they haven't found this Jesus who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who had good news for those that are broken, who have an answer to bring healing to the brokenhearted. He's there for you, but you have to find him. You have to get there. You have to get through the walls of unbelief. You have to crash down the walls and tear off the ceiling to find that Jesus that has the answer for you and for your broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the captives. Sometimes people are captured by things. The devil has one aim in your life, and that is to steal, to kill, and destroy. But the good news is that Jesus came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. So if you're not experiencing that life that he's promised to give you, then something must be broken, and Jesus has to be the one to bring liberty to your place of captivity. It goes on to say recovery of sight to the blind. Sometimes people spiritualize that and say, well, it's talking about spiritual blindness. But no, he was talking about physical blindness as well as spiritual blindness. There were many instances in his ministry where he healed the blind people. One time he put mud in their eyes. Sometimes he did some unusual things to bring healing to people. But he got the job done. And their impossibility became a possibility when they extended their reach to Jesus and touched him with their faith. They received their healing. And he did amazing miracles to heal the blind and bring recovery to their sight. So whatever your impossibility is, Jesus is there for you. Nothing is impossible to God, the Bible says, and all things are possible to those that believe. It says, praise the Lord. And then it comes back to freedom. It says to set at liberty, again, those who are oppressed. So it's not only those that are captive, but those that are oppressed. Once again, probably we've never lived in a time when there's been more oppression of the devil in the lives of people. I mean, sometimes you walk in the store and you can feel the oppression of the enemy on the lives of people, or you can walk, go into an area or a neighborhood and feel the oppression of the devil. So you don't have to feel it to know that it's there, but most of the time it manifests itself because you can see it on the faces of people. You can see it all over their demeanor. You can see it in their walk. You can see it on how they carry themselves. The oppression is there. You might not be operating in one of the gifts of spirit, like discerning of spirits, to be able to actually see it. But just looking into somebody's eyes oftentimes reveals the oppression that's already there, because the eyes are the window to the soul. Verse 19 says then, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the best part, because that's the Jubilee year. The Jubilee year for the people of Israel was the year of return, when everything that was returned, all their debts were canceled. That'd be a good thing, amen? Praise the Lord. All their debts were canceled. If they lost their land, it was returned to them. Whatever was their inheritance by their family came back to them. The year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord, was the year of recovering everything. And Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that's all fantastic and well to say, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Fortunately, the Spirit of the Lord has never left him. And now we have the opportunity to have the Spirit of the Lord upon us, or in and within us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been sent for us and sent to us when Jesus went to heaven. He said, if I don't go to heaven, if I don't go there, if I don't go away, then you can't have the Spirit of truth. That's what he told the disciples in John, probably 13, 14, 15, if you read those chapters, praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you about when the impossible looms big. There's one story, I think, that illustrates this better than maybe any other story in the Bible. It's from Mark chapter 2. It's the story of the man whose friends carried him to the house where they couldn't get in. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and he entered Capernaum after some days. And Capernaum, for those who may not know, Capernaum was Jesus' adopted hometown. Nazareth rejected him, but Capernaum accepted him. It's at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. There's still remnants of things from Jesus' era at the north end of the sea that you can go see. There's a nice, beautiful Catholic church built on top of Peter's house that has a transparent floor that you can look through and look down into Peter's bedroom, kitchen, living room. I guess maybe we don't really know that that was Peter's house, but they believe it was Peter's house. And the reason they believe that is because the early Christians built churches on top of places like that. And underneath that Catholic church is a small church that was built from the era of Jesus, or shortly after he went to heaven. So Capernaum was his hometown. He went there, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Now, I know I've preached on this passage before, this section of Scripture before, but I want to look at it from a different angle today. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to you, to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I guess so. Probably they never saw it again. What an amazing, amazing day. But I want to look at that story from the standpoint of the man and his four friends that brought him to that place today. So it says that they came to him, verse 3, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd. It didn't say they would not. It said they could not. So if you think about the faith of those four men and the man whom they were carrying, that was probably the biggest impossibility of the day, because the Bible says they couldn't. They couldn't get to him. They had faith in their hearts that if they could get to him, their friend would be healed. But they couldn't get there that day because of the crowd. So I'd like to look at this message today about the walls that keep people from breaking through the impossibilities in their lives. What keeps you from getting the miracle of Jesus? That day, for these men, the crowd was keeping the man from his miracle because they couldn't get through. Too many people. So that's one of the walls in the house that you got to get a breakthrough in. The people wall. The people that you have around you are important. And if you got the wrong people around you, it'll be a wall that keeps you away from your miracle. It'll be a wall that keeps you away from Jesus. And it'll be a wall that becomes your impossibility, makes your impossibility even more impossible. People can make the difference. I've used this illustration before, but when we were in the theater, when we had our church in Quimby Village Theater, now the Clyde Theater, we were having healing school every Sunday night. And so each Sunday night, one of us would take an opportunity to preach, and we'd preach on healing, minister healing to people. And there was a lady from another church, she and her husband were coming faithfully to the meetings. She was diagnosed with cancer, with terminal cancer, with no hope to recover. And the doctors had done everything that they could do, they said. But she was dying anyway. But we noticed something, that as the meetings progressed and as they came Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night, that she was getting better. Her color was changing. And even her doctors were saying the numbers were going into remission. And she was getting, something was happening. She was getting her healing. But you could see it in her. And the joy that was in that woman and in her husband was amazing. They came with anticipation every time. They were looking forward to the next week would be better. And the next week would be better. And the next week would be better. They were really getting it. But then one Sunday night, they brought a friend with them from the old church. And at the end of the service, that lady that they brought with her, with the lady that had cancer, approached us along with the couple and said, "How dare you preach that Jesus heals everybody? How dare you give this woman hope that she could have healing from Jesus for her cancer? There's no guarantees for any of that stuff." And as we watched, we could see the color drain from that woman's face. And she never came back again. We never saw her again, and can only surmise what happened to her. But the people around you can be the wall that you have to overcome when you're looking for a miracle from Jesus. We have other cases where in the first church that we had in, second church actually, in North Judson, there's a lady that was one of our leaders, and she had a terminal case of pneumonia and was placed in the hospital. Her family, her husband and her daughters, they were a family of singers, and they would come up and sing to her every day. And they would always have one of the family members in her room, and they would never let anyone come in the room unless they were going to speak faith and read the Word of God over her. Her husband would come up and read the Word of God to her, faithfully read the Word of God to her about her healing and about Jesus delivering her from this thing. And within a few weeks, she was dismissed from the hospital, totally healed. So she's alive today. She has a big Bible study for women in another church in that city. And she's ministering for Jesus and encouraging people. So the people that you have around you can either keep you away from Jesus or they can bring you to Him. And if you don't get over that wall, if you can't scale that wall and get through that situation, you may not get your impossibility, the miracle that will take care of your impossibility. Praise the Lord. The second wall is the wall of disappointment. A lot of times people, when they don't see an instantaneous result, they drop into disappointment. That wall will keep you from receiving from Jesus, because if you're disappointed and disillusioned, the Word of God says, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you everywhere that you go. Be strong and be of good courage. God is with you. But if you let disappointment take you down, it's the wall that you can't get over. It will keep you from your miracle. It will keep you from Jesus. It will keep you from receiving. You have to get through that wall. You have to get over that wall. So these men, they came to this place bringing the paralytic, and it says they couldn't get through the crowd. So they went up to the roof and uncovered it. For every impossibility, there's a way to the roof. You just have to find it. The third wall that keeps people from their miracles, the wall of fear. What if it doesn't work for me? I don't know how many people have said, well, it maybe works for you because you're the pastor, but it's not working for me. Or it maybe works for this one or that one or whatever, but it's not working for me. And fear has begun to etch away the faith that was once in their hearts when the Word of God came to touch them and transform them. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So with that good news, we need to fight the wall of fear and scale it and get to the roof, because there's better for you than living a life of fear. The fourth wall is the wall of unbelief. One of the things that's the hallmark of this story is when these people finally got this man to Jesus, it says, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Immediately that caused a stir with the religious people, but Jesus didn't let that deter him, because he saw their faith. Unbelief is a terrible wall. If you can't bring yourself to the place of believing, there is a remedy, though. It's called the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. And staying in the Word of God will build your faith. Having people around you that encourage you will help your faith, but nothing will help your faith like hearing the Word of God. It's not magic. It's not the Aladdin's lamp where you can rub the lamp and the genie comes out. But it is something that you can get down in your spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Word of God will come alive to you. Praise the Lord. So people, disappointment, fear, and unbelief are the four walls that primarily keep people from their miracle with Jesus. But then there's the final barrier. The final barrier is the roof. The roof to this house, to keep you from receiving your miracle, to keep you in the impossible and not get your breakthrough, the roof is satanic oppression and satanic opposition. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to have your miracle. And if you can't tear the roof off of the house, you can't get to Jesus. You have to destroy the stronghold of opposition in order to get a success in receiving your miracle from Jesus. Now, that opposition may manifest itself in a lot of different ways, but that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have men and women of faith around us. That's why we have the gifts that Jesus has given to the church, the apostolic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, the teaching gift, to break through all of those layers so that we can tear off the roof of opposition and get to Jesus. So when you get to that roof, tear it off. When you get over those walls, tear off the roof, because Jesus is there. Praise the Lord. I guess what I'm attempting to tell you today is that somehow you have to break through. Somehow you have to be engaged. And whatever the things are that are keeping you from your miracle or keeping your miracle from you, you have to be engaged to see that Jesus is there for you. And that he will really bring you the answer that you need. He will really bring you the breakthrough that you need. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he is anointed to bring you freedom from captivity. To open the prison doors for you. And to set you free and to bring you to a new place in life where you can receive his miracle. So I want to end the message with five things that will help you in tearing off the roof. The first one is The Bible says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Somewhere in your quest to tear off the roof of opposition that's been placed there to keep you from your miracle, you have to be engaged in the overcoming using the blood of Jesus and using the word of your testimony. The Bible says that out of the heart the mouth speaks, and oftentimes the things that we say lock the prison doors tighter and make it more difficult to get to the place where we're tearing the roof off. We have to change how we think and how we talk in order to let the word of God hit its mark and destroy the opposition that the devil has built over you, to destroy the ceiling that he's built over you. If you don't get a breakthrough with your tongue, you have a problem. The Bible says the tongue is an unruly fire. It says in the book of James, and it says the tongue can bring forth blessing and cursing, but then it says it should not be so. It's something that every believer has to work on. Nobody's immune, because we've all said stuff we shouldn't say. We've all thought stuff we shouldn't think. We've all had our minds in places we shouldn't have had our minds. And those kinds of things will destroy our progress to tear the roof of opposition off of our lives. Overcome by the power of the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony. It's like proactive faith action. Somewhere in your life, you have to find a way to be positively advancing your breakthrough. And usually your mouth is the key to it. The Bible says it gave the illustration of the horse. It says, you know, it's held by a bridle, and the bridle turns the horse one way or the other. It says the tongue is like that. It's the bridle. If we can get a victory with the tongue, we can get a victory in the body. Praise the Lord. We can take care of those things, because God has put power. There's life and death is in the power of the tongue, the word says. And so let's speak life and choose life and use life in order to destroy that barrier and take the roof off. The second thing is faithful encouragers. The Bible says when he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." You know, sometimes it's not always that sin causes sickness to stay in our lives. Sometimes it's just an attack of the enemy. It's just opposition. It's all of those kind of things. But what Jesus did was he looked into this man's life and saw that as the most important thing to say to him first. It says in the book of James that, you know, if there's anybody sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. It didn't say let the elders call for them. It said let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And then it adds, and if they've committed sin, they'll be forgiven. So isn't that amazing? Yes. If we just follow the instructions, we get the results. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick means the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. We're not the one that can raise a person up, but the Lord is the person who raises them up. So all we got to do is get to him. Tear the roof off. Amen? Praise the Lord. Faithful encouragers around us will help us. Those four men were were part of the keys for that man getting his deliverance from paralysis that day, because faithful people brought him to Jesus. Faithful people believed God with him. Faithful people encouraged him. Faithful people carried him to the top of the roof. Faithful people tore the roof off for him. Faithful people let him down in front of Jesus. It's important. It's hugely important. Number three, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, I think I should go there probably. We've been studying the book of Romans. And I don't know if you all have gotten to Romans chapter 8 in your cell group yet. But it says in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Then look at verse 2. Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, that's really tough. Yeah, I know it's tough because we all want to walk in the flesh. It's easier, right? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Think of the impact of that. There, your life is governed by laws. And this says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So when Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven you, he opened the door for his healing automatically, because the law of the Spirit of life overrode the law of sin and death that had come into this man's life and caused his paralysis. So whatever your case is, whether you're facing a terminal sickness or whether you're facing some situation in relationships or some issue with your finances or some issue with your job or your career, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the laws of sin and death. Everything that Satan has assigned against you is broken by the power of the blood of Jesus, because there's a new law operating in your life. But you have to walk in it, and you have to be proactive in keeping that word alive on the inside of you. It's got to be the fire in the hearth there. We've got to keep the light burning, the flame burning, the revelation arising in our heart. Praise the Lord. The fourth thing is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think that's what, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, something like that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, or forever. Sometimes they say, yeah, well, it was good for this man in the Bible, but what about me? What Jesus did for that paralyzed man, he would do for you. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So be encouraged. If you're fighting the fight of faith, you have the victory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And then finally, seeing yourself well and whole, free and delivered is a huge key in tearing off the roof. Sometimes when impossibility has been there for a while, it settles in on your mind and you just can't get through that it could ever be possible for you. You have to tear that roof off, because Jesus is there for you. So you have to do whatever it takes to get a vision for the way it should be. I don't make this a rule for anybody, but it worked for me. When I had a couple of back injuries, I was believing God for my healing, and it seemed like it wasn't coming. I got to the place where it was almost like, it's not going to happen for me. And so I went to the internet and I downloaded a picture of a perfect spine. And I printed it and I had it on my phone. I had it on my computer. And every day I would open that picture and I'd say, mine's like that. Mine is like that. Mine is like that. Mine is like that. Now, I didn't neglect the word. I listened to the word every day concerning healing. I still do it, even though I've received that healing a long time ago. But I had to get to the place to see it inside that mine was really like that. And then a few days before my birthday in March, the Lord spoke to me and said, by your birthday, it'll all be gone. And just like he spoke, it actually was. Because from that day on, every day was a better day. And as I can't tell you how it disappeared, it just went. It was gone. That was after months of rolling around in the back of my van while Pastor Karen was driving so that I could go to a chiropractor. I only went to him. He was in South Bend and we were here in Fort Wayne. I only went to him. He's a Jewish chiropractor and he prays over people. I only went to him because he really prayed. He'd pray at the top of his lungs in tongues and then smash your back, man. He was good. Sometimes it was painful, but the prayer was worth it. Glory to God. I love you, Doctor. In Jesus' name, Dr. Rob. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So seeing yourself whole and free and delivered brings the power of vision on the inside of you. It brings inner revelation. The Word of God is life to you and it's health to your flesh, but you've got to get it on the inside of you and you have to be able to see it. When you see it, you can have it. What you can see, you can have. When God took Moses, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, but he said, whatever you can see, when he went, took him to the top of that mountain, he said, whatever you can see, that's going to belong to your people. And it happened just like that. He told Abraham, you know, when you walk through the land, wherever you set your foot, that's yours. But he had to get a vision for that. He had to see himself as the father of nations. And when he began to see himself as the father of nations, even the impossibility of having a child became a possibility. Not only a possibility, it became reality. Because he got the vision on the inside of him and changed his name to the Father of Nations. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to pray for you right now, those on watching us on social media and as well as those of you here in the congregation. So, Father, I thank you for a spirit of wisdom and revelation coming on the inside of us today, Lord. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened that we know the hope of our calling, know the riches of the glory of our inheritance in the saints, that we know the exceeding greatness of your power to us who are to believe, according to the working of your mighty power that you worked in Christ when you raised him from the dead. I ask you, Lord, today, that you would put that resurrection power on the inside of each one of us, Lord, that each one would be encouraged in their faith today to scale the walls and to tear the roof off, Father God, so that we can see the reality of the power of the living Jesus, the one who paid the highest price so that we could be forgiven, healed, and delivered from the power of the devil, the one who spoiled the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness, the wicked spirits in the heavenly places, the one who made a public spectacle of them, the one who triumphed over them in it. Thank you, Father, that those demon powers will never rule over our lives again, that we have victory and freedom through the blood of Jesus and through the power of Jesus' name, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper because our righteousness is of you. Father, we just release that presence of Jesus over this congregation and over those watching, those that are here listening on the podcast. Father, we ask you to manifest yourself strong on their behalf, Father, that every impossibility will be torn down, Father God, and that they will begin to experience the goodness of God, the goodness that you have for them, and the blessing that they have that makes them rich and adds no sorrow with it. So thank you, Jesus, for paying the price and making it all possible. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the reality in our lives today. Thank you, Jesus, and that your word is prevailing mightily in us, and that your word will never return empty, but always accomplish what you please, and it will prosper in our hearts where you have sent it, Lord. So let that seed of the word grow today, Father, and bear fruit in our lives, Father. And not only that, Father, but as we reach out to the other people around us, Lord, who have great needs and great tragedies and situations and circumstances, Lord, that we be those that open the prison doors for the people, Father. Those that set the captives free, Father. Those that would heal the blind eyes and raise the lame people, Father, from walk to walking, Lord. And that we would be those that would experience the mighty power of your Spirit, Lord, surging through us, Father. That like the early disciples, that everywhere they went, they left a trail of healed people, delivered people. People set free from their sin. People set free from darkness, Father. And people who found the light of the gospel. So for it, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for joining us today. Those that are watching on social media, we bless you in the name of Jesus. We'll see you again next week. Come in person. It's better inside than outside. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.